So I was up at 3 a.m. having one of those surreal half-awake moments or episodes, staring at the ceiling fan wobbling like it was having a nervous breakdown. And I had this really weird feeling that something was wrong. Not wrong like I forgot to pay my credit card bill. A more comprehensive wrong. Like the whole country is just running on fumes and pretending it's aromatherapy. It's one of those spiraling episodes. And the reality is that this has pretty much been the vibe for at least the last decade. It's a kind of slow motion, low grade collapse where nothing explodes, but everything feels like it's leaning, like one of those old houses where the floors slope just enough that your pen rolls off the table out of spite. And so I got to thinking, what is the true cost of living in the US nowadays? What does it really cost to live in the so-called land of opportunity? And speaking of houses, let's start there, actually. Because the moment you try to do the most supposedly normal adult thing, like buy a home, you quickly discover that the American dream becomes a lot less of a dream and more of a psychological experiment, which is a psychological experiment that's conducted by a landlord who would gladly charge you rent for your shadow if they could. Remember when your parents, well, I guess your grandparents, depending on your age, when they bought a house and the price of that house was basically the price of a used car, a decent used car nowadays. And this was back when a single income could buy four walls, a yard, and of course, the crushing sense of responsibility that comes with that. Nowadays, a starter home costs roughly the same as a small moon. And the bank, they'll look at your income and your debt, and of course your credit score. And then they'll say, "Oh, that's cute, but sorry, no." But then they'll eventually come around and they'll offer you a 30-year mortgage with a rate that's so high, it feels like it's a prank. So we're living in a time when 25-year-olds are reading articles called "Should You Feel Guilty About Never Owning Property?" And the answer is yes, because and that but that's only because everything in the US is designed to make you feel guilty for not being rich. But just remember, we're all temporarily embarrassed millionaires, right? So housing affordability isn't really a crisis anymore. It's just a lifestyle now. It's basically the new national pastime. Now we all gather around and watch Zillow listings like they're crime scene photos. And this didn't just happen magically. Housing basically became a casino. Corporations, hedge funds, investment groups, they all scooped up entire neighborhoods the way a bored toddler grabs fistfuls of Fruit Loops. And they realized that shelter, this basic human need, and human right, by the way, is actually the perfect product. Just a fabulous way to make profit. People can stop buying lattes, and they can stop buying, buying those gym memberships that they never use, but they can't stop needing a roof. So America turned housing into a subscription service. And of course, the price goes up every year. But to really appreciate how weird all of this really is, you have to zoom out a little. Not to the whole world, just far enough to see the entire ecosystem of collapse that we're all swimming in now. And, you know, it turns out that it's not just housing, it's everything. So take hustle culture. Somewhere around 2012, we collectively decided that sleep was optional and burnout was some kind of badge of honor. And that every hobby has to be monetized. You couldn't even bake cookies without someone whispering, "You should sell those." No, Karen, I'm allowed to enjoy a cookie without turning it into a side business called Crumbcraft or whatever. But hustle culture wasn't just a trend. It became a survival mechanism. I mean, you have to do it now because wages froze like a deer in the headlights and inflation took up CrossFit. And then suddenly your real job wasn't enough to cover your basic expenses, not to mention the emotional damage of just existing. I mean, you know the economy's broken when the government hasn't raised minimum wage in 16 years. But every influencer raises their eyebrows at you and says, "You know, have you tried passive income?" Yeah. Well, it turns out you need extra income to generate passive income. And somewhere along the way, do what you love slowly turned into do what you hate, but just pretend you love it on LinkedIn, right? But here's the most American twist of all. Even with three side hustles, a full-time job, and a part-time existential crisis, we can't get ahead. Because we're basically sprinting on a treadmill that just keeps billing us for cardio fees. And when people can't keep up, they don't just fall off the treadmill, they disappear. All right, let's talk a little bit about addiction. I mean the real version, not the moralizing, sterile news anchor version. I'm talking about the slow bleed out that's happening in every city, every suburb, every parking lot of every gas station where the lights flicker like they're too dysfunctional to illuminate the scene. This is a country where despair has become like a public utility. It's where fentanyl has basically replaced any shred of optimism because optimism is just, well, it's just too expensive. It's a place where loneliness is now so pervasive that we've got millions of people using substances just to make the silence feel a little less aggressive. Addiction, it isn't an epidemic. It's a symptom. It's a symptom of an economy that's eating people alive and then writes think pieces asking why everyone feels hopeless. And right next to that, sometimes literally sleeping on the same sidewalk, we have a growing homeless population. And if you haven't noticed, well, the number of people living in tents has skyrocketed. You know, tents used to be for camping, and now they're for survival. So all over the U.S., we see the tents lined up along the freeways, under the bridges, behind grocery stores, like they're the nation's conscience trying to survive the weather. Every city has these areas now. Blocks transformed into living room, basically made of tarps. And people just talk about it like it's the weather. Yeah, homeless numbers are up again this year. Like it's the flu, you know. But it's not the flu. It's policy. And it's the direct result of decades of wage stagnation, predatory housing markets, gutted mental health care, and ultimately the general American philosophy of, well, you're just on your own, buddy. Good luck. Why don't you try, I don't know, selling a course or something? It's really the physical manifestation of a system that values property more than people. It's a system where a house can just sit empty because it's an investment, while a human being is sleeping on the sidewalk because they aren't. And all of this, the housing, the hustle culture, the addiction, the homelessness, it's feeding into this national atmosphere of quiet dread that just is simmering underneath. It's like a country that's slowly turning into an escape room that no one can solve. But here's the thing. This isn't a tragedy from the outside in. It's a tragedy we feel from the inside out. Because you don't really need any, you know, an economist to tell you that things are off. You can feel this in your body. It's in the tightness behind your eyes when you look at your bank account. It's in the way your shoulders tense when you decide to check the rent prices just to see. And, you know, if you're paying attention, you can feel all this in the emotional whiplash of watching one friend buy a $1.7 million condo while another friend is living in their Honda Civic. Americans are exhausted, not just physically, but psychologically, you know, mentally, spiritually. They're not tired, they're exhausted. It's like a countrywide burnout where everyone's pretending they aren't three unpaid bills away from living in their car. You know, we're living in the pre-collapse anxiety disorder. The collapse itself isn't even really here yet. And this is the part of the movie where nothing has exploded yet, but the camera just keeps zooming in on the cracks. So, all right. We've established that your bank account is the epitome of minimalism and that the American dream is basically a haunted house that you can't afford to leave. But here's the real kicker. The money isn't even the worst part of all this, because it's not just dollars that drain you. It's the slow erosion of your life. It's measured in tiny fees, recurring subscriptions, and the emotional interest that you pay for just showing up. It's the old death by a thousand cuts. So let's take debt, for example. You think student loans are about school, but they're more accurately about punishment. And that's because over 43 million Americans are saddled with student loan debt. That's more than $1.7 trillion total. Now, this isn't just a number. It's lives and dreams deferred indefinitely. It's people making the decision to just not have kids because that's unaffordable. It's people delaying or just being priced out of home purchases altogether. It's, it's also people just postponing the basic human act of breathing without anxiety. But wait, there's more. Because it isn't just student loans. Credit card debt? Well, that's over $1 trillion in revolving debt. Then there's auto loans. Well, some people are financing cars for 6 years or more. So, the average cost of owning a car in the U.S. is a little over $12,000 a year. Now, are you really buying a car, or are you just renting the ability to drive without dying from financial panic? And then, of course, inflation is out of control. I mean, everything costs more than it should. We've got endless subscriptions, hidden fees, loyalty programs, optional add-ons. It's a system designed to make you feel like you're choosing, but in reality, you're just paying extra to survive. So the obvious answer is, well, get a second job, you bum, which in America is now the polite way of saying, we're going to extract 110% of your life while telling you it's your choice. So enter hustle culture. This is really about survival, not ambition. And, you know, nowadays you got to sell yourself one way or another. You got to sell your skills, your personality, your looks if you got them. Even your trauma, just to make rent. Side hustles aren't hobbies anymore. They're not extra money, because now they are a lifeline. You might be, teaching online classes, flipping thrift store finds on eBay, running a TikTok account, maybe offering wellness consultations or something, because apparently you're a walking, talking stress reduction app at this point. And it's exhausting and relentless. And it comes with its own psychological toll. If you aren't monetizing every skill or passion, every creative impulse, you feel guilty. Not lazy, guilty. Because the American system has decided that time itself must earn money, or it doesn't really exist. And here's the thing. A lot of people are burning out so hard that they fall straight into addiction because we're self-medicating. The opioids, alcohol, digital dopamine loops, gambling is huge now, doom scrolling, I don't know, pick your poison. And the numbers are mind-blowing. We've got over 100,000 overdose deaths annually in the U.S., with opioids being responsible for roughly 75% of them. And, you know, that doesn't even count alcohol or, you know, prescription meds. It's or the quiet addictions to screen time, which are leaving people feeling empty, but unable to quit. And all of this feeds into the growing homelessness crisis. So, according to the HUD, that's the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, over 580,000 Americans experience homelessness on any given night. And that's only what's reported. So undoubtedly, that number is higher. And it's been steadily climbing in multiple cities around the U.S. These are people who can't make rent, people with untreated mental health issues, people with, you know, addicted to substances because the system just left them no other coping tools. And the tents have pretty much become very clearly visible markers of a system that has, you know, monetized every possible survival mechanism while leaving the most vulnerable people out in the cold. Literally. You know, believe it or not, there actually used to be a sense of community in the U.S. But these days, it's predominantly digital and unfortunately, rather on the hostile side. And, well, social media. Well, it's not just a distraction. It's more than that. Social media is a subtle symptom or subtle system of oppression. It's amazing how everyone's connected now, right? And yet lonely at the same time. So 61% of Americans report feeling lonely. Your friends are basically just screenshots now. Your family is a digital thread. Your neighbors are probably checking TikTok while slowly dying inside. And then we've got consumerism quietly smothering us. Stuff like this fast fashion, planned obsolescence, the suburban sprawl, not to mention the endless avalanche of ads that are assaulting our eyeballs. Every commute, every Amazon Prime purchase, every disposable gadget is like a, it's kind of like a tiny psychological tax. And climate change, it's not just looming, it's knocking. It's smashing the door down at this point. I mean, we've got the hurricanes, floods, the fires, you know, drought, while the government basically just shrugs and continues to sell SUVs that people can't afford. You know, existential dread is now basically the default setting in the U.S. And the system wants it that way because fear and anxiety sells. Loneliness sells, desperation sells, and of course, we're all the product. But here's the thing. You know, surviving doesn't necessarily mean winning. But it does require us thinking differently. Now, I think one way to survive all of this is to start reclaiming control where we can. I mean, of course, I'm a big believer in less is more philosophy. And that's where I would personally start. Buy less or buy used or, you know, barter. Make better choices. And, you know, try to own your time instead of letting your possessions own you and your time. So, you know, that $100 chair that actually holds you without judgment, it's going to serve you better than that $1,700 sofa that your Instagram demands that you buy. Next, I would think about community. You know, online is fine. We all participate in that these days, and for better or for worse. But I think we should try to find it in person, too. You know, try to visit places where humans actually meet other humans, whatever that might look like for you. And look, I get it. A lot of us are just fed up with people and the bullshit to varying degrees, myself included. But I still believe from a larger perspective that communication face-to-face is important. I mean, it's important in order for us to stay in touch with our basic humanity. So think of it like a secret weapon against a world that's designed to isolate you. And then advocacy matters too. Because systems they're not going to fix themselves. And neither is the housing absurdity. You know, neither is this slow grind of wealth inequality that's just becoming absolutely insane. So educate yourself, read, research, touch grass and get in nature as much as humanly possible. Protest, speak up, resist the discreet acceptance that, well, this is just how it all is. This is just how things are. I think, you know, small actions compound. And in this system, I think they can be quietly revolutionary. And I also think we definitely need to redefine success. It really needs a complete overhaul, in my opinion. You know, forget the idea of, you know, forget the idea that success is measured by materialism, consumerism, by buying a fancy condo or a house or a fancy car or whatever the hell it is, or taking fancy vacations. Maybe it's just getting proper sleep. Maybe it's just embracing more humor in your life. Planting a small garden. Maybe doing a bit of volunteer work. Maybe it's just showing up for yourself each day without hating the process, without hating yourself. You know, learning to love yourself in a way that's not cringe, you know? I don't think life is always about, life doesn't always have to be about problem solving and trying to put out fires all the time. I think it's about, there's some acceptance involved, and it's about experiencing the mess without letting the mess destroy you. And another thing, you got to protect your mind. Maybe it's therapy, if you can afford it and find a good therapist. Maybe it's, you know, meditation, or writing things down as a form of self-therapy. I mean, that worked for me for many years. I used to write things down in journals. And, you know, maybe it's just something as simple as walking somewhere without a screen in front of your face. Whatever the hell it takes to unplug and regulate your nervous system and maintain some sanity. You know, chronic stress, it's invisible, but it'll bankrupt you faster than any Wall Street loan. So I would try to guard your inner life like it's the one asset the system can't touch, because it is. And I think it all begins inside, within. And I'll always say, humor, it's essential. Don't underestimate it. You got to be able to laugh at all the absurdity. Humor is free, it's effective, it's good for the mind and the body. And, you know, in a country that is constantly trying to eat you alive, I think humor is a kind of armor. So, you know, when the shit show gets a little overwhelming, and it will, I like to zoom out to get some perspective. When you imagine the planet from a distance, just a pale blue speck of dust in the vastness of space, it makes me realize our absolute insignificance. And it helps me to remember that we're all just these microorganisms, and we're temporary. And yeah, that may sound, you know, somewhat hopeless, but I think it really brings into focus the importance of living in the present moment, because that's where everything really happens. That's what we have right now. Look, you know, modern life in the USA is exhausting, as I mentioned earlier. And it's pushing us to extremes. It's trying to monetize everything. It's isolating us. And, you know, it's basically taxing your soul. But surviving it, you know, just trying to find small joys, building real connections, reclaiming your mind and your attention. It means stepping off the treadmill, even if it still hums and beckons in the background. This is a country where nearly everything has a price, and reclaiming what can't be bought, your time, your attention, sleep, laughter. I think this is probably the most valuable act of resistance that you can perform. And maybe that's how you stay sane in the giant American casino, at least for now. All right. I think that's all I've got today. As always, thanks for listening.